there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
I'm going to read today from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. Hear now the Word of God. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered him and said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask you in your wisdom and knowledge to impart that same to us, that we understand clearly your Word, that we understand clearly what belief and faith is, Lord, that you do speak to our hearts today, that we may walk away with something from you that comes down into our hearts, that we not mistake it, that we may walk the walk of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. ABC News recently did a poll, I believe it was July 18th, and according to the ABC poll, 83% of the American public call themselves Christian. That's a pretty big percentage, and it's dropped in recent years, but yet it's still a very large percentage. But there seems to be, as you follow the other aspects of the poll, confusion as to what this actual belief is, this Christianity is. And so when you dig further, it says that only 37% of all Christians describe themselves as born again or spirit born or evangelical. There is a true faith, beloved, that prevails. But there was a quote from William Booth, who started the Salvation Army. And this was in the early 1900s. And what he said was that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, heaven without hell. What he is describing is a very watered down Christianity that's really, you can't really call Christianity. And I believe that his words were prescient. In other words, they came true. Due to these statistics, I think it's kind of obvious. What you call yourself and what you actually believe may be two different things. Being born from above, being spiritually reborn, born again, requires faith. But what is faith? Yeah, it seems to be a confusing topic because many wish to place faith in the realm of the irrational. And yet, as Christians, we know that faith is not a leap into irrational darkness from reasonable light. No, faith is a leap into the reason for light from irrational darkness. True faith changes your life. It has to, and it does. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says that we are saved by grace through faith. And yet that's not of ourselves. It is a free gift of God. But what is faith? What is this faith? Faith is going to reach the realm of reason. Simply because we are human beings and we have to think about what it is. In other words, it's not just blindly accepted. It's not a leap in darkness. And so any discussion of faith and reason has to ask the question, what is faith? One of my favorite modern day theologians, a couple of them and I'll quote here, is R.C. Sproul. And he talks about this idea of faith and he says, the biblical answer, according to the book of Hebrews, is that faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And so what do we derive from that? That faith is something that is substantial. It's not out there in a nebulous way. It's substantial. It's something that we can look at and reason about. Faith represents also a type of evidence. It's the evidence of the unseen. Now, we know that as we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that at the heart of the concept of New Testament faith is this idea of trust. That faith involves placing your trust in something or someone. And if you think about it, in this regard, all human beings, all creatures, are subject to depending at one point or another on faith. We all are. We do it every day. R.C. Sproul says, I am not an expert in medicine, so I must give a certain trust to the diagnoses offered by experts in the field. That trust may be provisional until I find that it's not based on substance or evidence. But in the meantime, to trust what we do not see is not necessarily a matter of being irrational. Does that make sense? In other words, we do it every day. We trust doctors for what they may prescribe to us. We trust that when we go down the highway at 55 miles an hour, if you're in West Virginia, 70 miles an hour, that we know that we're not going to all of a sudden hit a 90-degree turn. Now, why do we do it? We trust that. We trust the people who built the highway. The speed limits are appropriate. We trust many things every day. But without reason, without thinking, the content of biblical faith would be unintelligible and meaningless. Faith is rational. Our Christian faith is rational. It's intelligible. We can communicate it. We can articulate it to people. It's not absurd or it's not illogical. Because if biblical faith was absurd or irrational, it would be utterly unintelligible and meaningless, right? You couldn't talk about it. You couldn't communicate it. Our faith does have rational aspect to it. It is intelligible. We can articulate it. Lastly, Sproul says that biblical faith does not call people to crucify their intellect or to take irrational leaps of faith into the darkness with the hope that Christ is going to catch us. Rather, we're called to leap out of the darkness and into light. John Calvin in the 1500s has a good quote from the Institutes of Christian Religion, that faith is a firm and sure knowledge of the divine favor toward us, grace, founded on the truth of a free promise in Christ and revealed to our minds and sealed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Understanding Christian faith requires three aspects. There's many people that have preached on these three, but they make sense. They're reasonable. That Christian faith has to, number one, acknowledge the content of Scripture. You can't have faith in nothing. When we look at Scripture, when we take this book, that we can read it, and we can reasonably understand what Christian faith is to be and what it's meant to be. If we don't have the book, if we base on our Christian faith on things that maybe we would like it to be because it suits us, that's not biblical Christian faith. That does not come from the Word of God. And so you have to acknowledge the content of Scripture of what the Christian faith is. You can't have faith in nothing, and Scripture contains the something as the revelation from God. So if you say that you're a Christian, and yet you don't look at the book of what a Christian is and understand that this is the divine revelation from God to tell you what that is, then that's the first problem you may have. We have to acknowledge the Word of God, and we have to abide by it as to the content of Scripture of what it means to believe, what biblical faith is. Secondly, we have to accept the truthfulness of the content of Scripture. So you can read it, you can read the content of Scripture, anybody can do that, but you have to accept it as true, as the true Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God, clearly defined. From Genesis to Revelation, we know that that is the plan of God. That he died on the cross for my sins, that he rose again from the dead, that he ascended into heaven. It was the work of Christ. It was the purpose of the Savior. It was the Messiah to come. That's what we derive from Scripture. So we can read it, we can acknowledge it, but then we have to accept it as true. And lastly, once you read it, once you acknowledge it, once you accept it as true, and if you think about it, even the demons can do that, even the devil can do that, even the most evil people can do that. They can read, they can accept it as true. But the third aspect of it is that you have to acquiesce to it. You have to submit to personal trust in Jesus Christ. That's the most crucial aspect of saving faith. Amen? Because if you don't submit, if you don't acquiesce, then you don't have a living faith. You don't have this relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not part and parcel of your very life. You disregard Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So you have to submit. And you can submit and trust to Christ. You can trust Jesus. Sproul says, I trust him and him alone for my salvation. The crucial element of faith is to acquiesce, and it includes the intellectual, it includes the mental, but it goes beyond that to the heart and to the will, so that the whole person is caught up in this experience we call faith. See, that's faith. Now, let's kind of look at this in terms of what happened here with Thomas the Apostle. And so after Jesus' resurrection, he miraculously appears to the disciples, except for Thomas, who was absent. The others were there, though. The others could see the Lord. They could hear him. They could touch him. They were in his very presence. Their faith was realized by the presence of Christ. The faith that they had was complete in what they saw with physical eyes that translated to the eyes of their heart. But one of them did not see, and that was Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and put my finger in the place of his nails, put my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe it." Apart from the Lord's very presence, Thomas was a skeptic. So listen, is he not the very example of people we see today? I mean, this is 2,000 years ago, a disciple of Jesus Christ, an apostle of Jesus Christ. We see the same thing today. Skeptics, who unless they can see in a rational, reasonable reality, this tangible reality that we have on the face of God's creation, they will not believe. To them, it's irrational. He saw belief in a risen Savior as irrational, as unreasonable. People don't rise from the dead. The Christian faith and those who believe are commonly portrayed by various secular media today as foolish, as unreasonable, as irrational, as unscientific, right? And basically, that's what Thomas was saying to the other 11. "You don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. It's irrational. It's unreasonable." And we see the same thing today. And it appears to me that it's even worse. We've talked about this the last few sermons, that Christians have got to the point in this society, in this country, of this illegitimacy in the public square, as though we are irrational, as though we are unreasonable. And I believe this is because Christians have focused inward, that they have this lack of engagement with the fallen world around us, that Christianity must be intentionally spread, infecting the culture instead of allowing the culture to affect us. Amen? That's what we ought to be all about. We must engage our fallen culture with the truth, because we have a defendable faith. Another one of my favorite modern-day theologians, he's Francis Schaeffer. And I would encourage you to read books by Schaeffer. He's very good. He said that Christianity is the most rational explanation of life that there is. He goes on to talk about faith, and he gives this analogy that faith, the word faith, can mean two completely different things. And he gives this analogy of folks hiking in the Alps. And he says, suppose we are climbing in the Alps and are very high on a bare rock, and suddenly the fog shuts down. The guide turns to us and says that the ice is forming and that there's no hope. Before morning, we will all freeze to death here in the shoulder of this mountain. Simply to keep warm, the guide keeps us moving in the dense fog further out on the shoulder until none of us have any idea where we are. And so he says that after an hour or so, someone says to the guide, "Well, suppose I dropped and hit a ledge 10 feet below down in the fog. What would happen then?" And the guy says, "Well, if you did that, you might make it until the morning and you might live." So with absolutely no knowledge or any reason to support the action, one of the group hangs down and drops into the fog. Now, this would be one kind of faith, Schaeffer says. This would be actually a leap of faith, right? This is the blind leap of faith that people talk about. But, he says, suppose, however, that we have worked out in the shoulder of this rock in the midst of the fog and the growing ice on the rock and stopped, and we heard a voice that said, "Hey, you cannot see me, but I know exactly where you are from your voices. I'm on another ridge. I've lived in these mountains, man and boy, for over 60 years, and I know every foot of them. I assure you that 10 feet below you, there's a ledge. And if you hang and drop, you can make it through the night. and I will get you in the morning. Now, a reasonable person might hear this, and they would not drop at once, but would ask questions, try to ascertain if the man knew what he was talking about, if he was not maybe an enemy. In my desperate situation then, even though time would be running out, I would ask him what to me would be the adequate and sufficient questions, and when I became convinced of his answers, then I would hang and drop. The historic Christian faith, then, is not a leap into the darkness. I'm invited to ask the adequate and sufficient questions, Schaeffer says, not only in regard to details, but also in regard to the existence of the universe, its complexity, in regard to the existence of man. I'm invited to ask adequate and sufficient questions and then believe him and bow down before him metaphysically in knowing that I exist because he made man, and bow down before him morally as needing his provision for me in the substitutionary propitiatory death of Christ. That's the reasonable faith that we have, that we can communicate to other people. Now, since Thomas, back to Thomas, he could not see, he had a hard time believing. He didn't believe his fellow apostles. He had a dilemma between faith and reason. Thomas came out of the darkness and into the light as his faith was realized when he actually experienced the risen Lord. So after 8 days, the disciples in verse 26 and 29, Thomas was with them. Jesus came through the doors, and he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here in your hand and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered him and said, "My Lord and my God." And yet Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." And so, beloved, true faith sees with the eyes of the heart. And we as Christians are called to spread this truth, this word of the gospel, that the risen Lord does indeed save. We are called to be witnesses of this truth. We are called to be disciple makers. True faith, foundational faith, is reasonable and defendable. Acknowledging, accepting, and acquiescing to the risen Lord. In our situation, in our modern day situation today, what hope is there for the lost if it doesn't come from the Christian community? It's a problematic dilemma to many churches, I believe, today, to many Western culture churches. Because the result of it is, over the last several decades, actually for the last century, if you want to go back into the history of how the church kind of split and why 83% call themselves Christian, and yet only 37% understand what that faith is. Because the focus of the body of Christ became this idea of equipping saints to equip the saints, focusing internally. Whereas what we should be doing is focusing the body of Christ to equip the saints to be salt and light to a flavorless, dark minds of the world who suppress the truth. We are to be Christians who speak truth in love, to be outward focused from inward truth. The church and individual Christians must persevere in its mission of articulating the faith that we, the church, the body of Christ, believers in the true gospel message, must continue against all odds to carry and demonstrate and articulate our true faith into the world. Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we ask that you give us a boldness in our hearts. You gave us a spirit not of timidity, but of boldness and courage and love. Help us to witness and make disciples, that the world around us may change. We all say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.